September 1941, soul singer Otis Redding was born in Dawson, Georgia. The film Citizen Kane, directed and starring Orson Welles, was released in the United States. And Superman saves a mansion during a flood. Can't say the same for all the other houses, but the mansion's fine. And it all happens in the next issue of Action Comics.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. I want to make sure this microphone still works. Greetings, super friends, and welcome back to the laziest Superman podcast in all of March 2022, Reaction Comics. Where you last heard me was back at the end of February, and then I was working on a special project on my other podcast, Over Geek Mentality, that took up pretty much all of my time. I was planning to bank a few episodes, record them, and get them out. And guess what? Never happened. Never happened. Then half of April went by. I'm not going to ignore that as well. But here I am in the perfect situation, the perfect night, relaxed. And I just said, you know, gosh darn it. And I don't mean to use such language, but gosh darn it. It's time to reignite. It's time to restart. It's time to react. Finally, back talking about Action Comics number 40 from September 1941. And if I remember correctly, what I like to do is kind of talk about the cover, what we see in the cover of the Action Comics issue, but it's generally unrelated to the actual story we're going to be looking at. This is, it's Superman beating up a tank. It looks like there are two tanks off in the distance, and this third tank is coming right at Superman. And it's not like a tank with like a long cannon, gun, whatever you call it. Turret? No, that can't be it. It's got some shorter, big guns, but they're shorter, and one is pointing down at Supes. It looks like it's firing at him, and he is just beating the crap out of this tank. He gave it an uppercut, and it went straight up, and I'd like to hope this isn't, this isn't like a friendly country that is defending themselves and Superman is fighting them. I'd like to think it's some sort of invasive, invading country that Superman is just destroying with his bare, giant, wonderful hands. But again, that's the cover. Let's jump in to Action Comics number 40, which I bet won't have a tank in it at all. But we'll see. We will see Superman by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Answering a summons for help, the mighty man of tomorrow finds his hands more than full, taking care of a wildcat heiress? Now, is that a description? Like, ooh, she's a wildcat. Or is she an heiress to actual wildcats? Before his job is completed, Superman has to resort to every unusual feat he can perform and create several new ones. Ooh, are we going to get new powers? This first panel we see, I don't think it has anything to do with anything. It's a tree got struck by lightning, and it looks like a man was about to be smushed. The tree was falling over to destroy the man, and Superman got there just in time. But I don't know, because the lightning strike is actually still there. So if it touches the man, he will succumb to it, I would assume. I feel like the lightning would already be gone, but again, it wouldn't paint the picture. It wouldn't make sense for us, the reader, to be like, why is he just helping a a fallen tree off this gentleman. Again, I don't think it's going to have anything to do with what we see in this story. So the actual story starts with the following ad appears in an advertising section of every Metropolis newspaper. It shows a close-up of the ad. Superman, your help urgently requested. Castle Ridge Park, license number EH656, 11 o'clock. Lois is holding the paper in front of Clark. Have you seen this advertisement? He says, well, I certainly have, but what of it? She looks at him and says, how can you be so stupid? Superman is sure to answer this request. If we're on the spot and learn what it's all about, what a story we'll have. You're right, Lois. Absolutely right, says Superman. Later in Castle Ridge Park, they're there. They're in the park, hanging out, waiting for this car to pull up. Lois says, 5 minutes to 11, keep your eyes open for that license number. Clark's like, you walk that way. I'll go this way, and if you see anything, shout. He steps behind some bushes in the park, and, he takes off his outer garments, which is the thing Superman does. Clark Kent does, I should say. He says, I thought I'd never get rid of Lois and all these clothes. Okay, he didn't say that. He says, I thought I'd never get rid of Lois. Haven't much time. Now it shows, the car pulling up, and there's Lois. She's like, there it goes, an auto with license EH656. But before Lois has a chance to shout for Clark, a costume figure streaks onto the scene and dives within the interior of the auto. It's Superman, she says, and we see Superman just whoop jumps into this car. Helplessly, she watches the auto pick up speed and disappear from view. Darn it, what an opportunity, and I muffed it. And now I can't find Clark anywhere. Where did he get lost? Uh-oh. So now she thinks Clark Kent is a buffoon. She already called him stupid. Now she thinks he's lost in the park. And that would be something she would think Clark is like, I just wandered around the park and got lost. But actually, within the auto, I must say, you're extremely punctual. That's how this guy's going to talk. Even though he kind of looks like Roger Moore. Well, I guess I don't know if I can do a Roger Moore. I can do a Seymour from Cannonball Run. Different, totally different person. That was specifically for my brother. So within the auto, I'm just doing a Thurston Howell or whatever. I must say, you're extremely punctual. What sort of trouble are you in? Said Superman. It's not I who need your assistance. It's my employer. I'm merely his secretary. Oh, wait. I would feel the employer would talk like this, not the secretary, but... And who is your employer? Morgan Thurgenson. Morgan Thurgenson. I said that right? You've heard about him, no doubt. Who hasn't? Thurgenson, the billionaire? Say, this promises to be interesting. Clark's really excited about getting near a billionaire. Shortly after, the auto turns into the driveway of a massive estate. And still later, Superman stands in the presence of Morgan Thurgenson himself. This guy looks a little more like Teddy Roosevelt. Or is it FDR? I don't know. He's a big guy with a beard. Maybe it's, you know what? I'm going to settle on Wilford Brimley. Just say he's Wilford Brimley. Pardon my startled expression, this is Superman, but usually people who ask for my assistance are hard-pressed for cash. I doubt whether that's what's troubling you. As a matter of fact, it's not myself I'm asking you to help. Okay, what is going on here? So first, the secretary is like, well, it's not me who needs help. It's this guy. And he's like, hi, how you doing? But it's not me who needs help. Who is it? First, Superman, this is very funny. Superman says the exact same thing in the next panel. First, your secretary tells me that he's not the one who needs help. Then you tell me the same about yourself. What I'd like to know is who, if anyone, does need my assistance. Should there be a question mark? Or maybe not. I don't know. My daughter. Uh-oh. Dun-dun-dun. Nancy. Now, Superman now has his arm up like on a bar. He's really kind of relaxed. And he knows, Nancy, if what I read in the newspapers is correct, your daughter feels quite self-sufficient. And that's just the difficulty, said Wilford Brimley. The girl's stubborn, foolhardy, spends money like it was water, gets into countless scrapes. I'm afraid she's headed for serious trouble, unless, that is, someone straightens her out. Wink, wink. He doesn't give a wink, but I feel like he's intimating something. And he's like, so someone straightens her out. So that she definitely is, I guess I was right about Wildcat. She is a wild cat. He's lighting up a cigar as he's saying this. And Superman says, I see. And you'd like to wish that job onto me? I've hired detectives by the dozen. It does no good. I've pleaded, cajoled, threatened. But she turns her charms on, and the men I hire, they begin to act like bashful schoolboys. I've come to the conclusion that the task requires a Superman. That's why I advertise for you. Will you take the job? I'll pay you any amount you ask. The prospect, not the money, fascinates me. Tell you what I'll do. If I succeed, you'll turn $100,000 over to your favorite charity. Agreed? Oh, look at that. Superman actually doing something for charity. That's nice. It's a deal, and a bargain at that price. But I must warn you again about the charm of hers. Mr. Thurgenson, a telephone call from the Purple Fawn, a nightclub. Your daughter and her escort are embroiled in a brawl. That's my cue to begin! Superman jumps out the window. He came in through the front door, jumps out the window, and I guess heads off to the Purple Fawn, the nightclub. Sounds, exciting. Tell me, Pinkly. I guess that's the name of the secretary, though he looks much like a butler. Tell me, Pinkly, do you think he'll succeed?
Knowing your daughter as I do, sir, I find myself extremely pessimistic. Superman may have tangled with colossal opposition, but that was mere child's play compared to what he will encounter when he meets Nancy. She seems like a handful.
That was me adding that. I feel like this is 1941, like talking about a young woman who's, you know, a bit of a handful. We need to have some help. We gotta have a conservatorship. So we jump over to Superman, who is now right out. He's flying or jumping, leaping near the Purple Fawn. Fawn? What am I, from New York? The Purple Fawn. I had a perfect record up to now. It would be a pity if this assignment should change that. So now Superman's worried about keeping his perfect record as a Superman. He says, the Purple Fawn below! Who is he saying it to? Again, this is Superman who loves to talk to himself. Alighting outside the establishment, Superman makes use of his X-ray vision to note. So we see him, I guess, using his X-ray vision to look into the Purple Fawn, and he says, and to think, I came to help her! The next panel we see, she is punching the hell out of some dude. Like, she is just knocking him out. He is like, roar, falling back. And she says, get rid of him. That's my voice for her. For some reason, that's what I went with. And this guy's like, if you wish to return to the gambling room. So I guess she, you know, is a bigwig. She's like, get rid of him. That is the voice I chose. I have to remember that. And apparently that's what I'm going to do. So this guy got knocked out. And I don't know who her gentleman suitor is. I don't know if it's this bald dude next to her. But he's like, if you wish to return to the gambling room, maybe he runs the place. At a gambling table, Nancy Thurgenson recklessly piles up heavy losses. She doesn't care. She's rich.
That makes a total of 40,000 you've lost after playing all night.
Hadn't you better stop? Oh, sorry. This is a different guy. Hadn't you better stop playing now? And now she says, certainly not. What's the use of my dad's making so much money if I can't throw it away? Oh, wow. She doesn't even care about all this money. But Superman's amazing vision also discloses to him that the gambling table is rigged so that the player hasn't the slightest chance of winning. This is a roulette table or something. What table are we at here?
It doesn't even show.
But there's some sort of, this panel shows like some sort of system. I don't know what else to call it. It almost looks like an upside down record player that is somehow making the gambling, you know, fixed. We'll go with that. Sorry, the next panel shows the gambler operating the table excuses himself momentarily. So he goes to a water fountain to get a drink of water. And it says, but as he takes a drink at the water cooler, a hand comes through the window behind him. And you see this window open behind him with these blinds. The blinds, picture the window open. The blinds are open halfway. So the bottom half of the window is wide open, and you just see this arm reaching out, about to grab this dude. And it's a blue, it's got a blue, you know, sleeve. So you know it's our man of tomorrow. And he is reaching through the window, and zoinks, next panel. The guy's like, hey, come here. Superman pulls him out. Come here. Like Sub-Zero. Fatality. He's like, let go. What do you think? Who do you think you are? Who do you think I am? Said Superman. Ah, Superman, you're right. You're improving. Oh, I love a cocky Superman. Ooh, I love it when he doesn't take no guff from nobody. So now they're like flying high up by buildings. Superman jumped really high. The guy's like, don't hurt me, I ain't done nothing. Curious, your idea of nothing? You've cheated Miss Thorgerson out of thousands of dollars. Do you think you ought to be punished for that? So Superman, like, suggesting he's going to murder this man? Guess what? In the next panel, he says, I wonder if you'd bounce. Put me down, put me down. Down hurtles the crooked gambler, propelled by Superman's toss. This guy said, put me down, and what does Superman do? He grabs what looks like a pole, a flagpole, throws the man down to his death, we think. But the very next panel, Superman swoops after him, catching the captive. Like to try it again? No. I'll do anything you say, anything. So Superman, I mean, let's be honest. This is a arrestable offense. Now, I know the police come after him all the time, and they fire aimlessly at him. Even still, he's bulletproof, and they still shoot at him constantly. But this is definitely something that, in a court of law, might be a little questionable. You know, this guy does have some rights, even if he is a trustworthy gambler. So in the very next panel, he says, go back in there and see to it that Nancy wins back every cent she's lost. If she doesn't, I'll finish the job I started. So now he's saying, I will kill you. I'll do it. Just leave me alone. So inside, shortly after, now she's like, what was the voice? I'm winning. I think that's what it was. I forgot already. And it looks like the pit boss is like, what's the matter, Lou? You're letting her win like that. So now these guys are not happy about that. There's a bald guy not happy about this. But there's a guy behind him in the purple suit, which I believe is the one who was almost killed. So minutes later, he says, that's all, lady. You've cleaned me out. Broke the bank, did I? Guess I'll call it a day. Why does she sound like that? Why did I choose that voice? I don't know. But she's like, okay, I'm going to leave now. So Superman observes as Nancy drives off. I thought she was with her boyfriend or her suitor or her escort or somebody. She's alone. She's just driving in this car. And Superman's like, gut her out of that spot or are her troubles over? And he's peeping down at her. He's crouched on a telephone pole, peeping down upon her. And in the very next panel, Superman uses his super hearing to overhear inside back in the purple fawn. You double-crossing rat. What was the idea of letting her win her back her dough? I had to, Pomelo. Superman grabbed me, told me that unless I did, he'd polish me off. He really did. Superman did tell him he'd kill him. You're lying. You're trying to pull some scheme of your own. So now that he punches this guy right in the face, a big old uppercut. And I guess he punches that guy, leaves him there, even though in the very next panel, there's a guy wearing the exact same suit. This guy has a mustache all of a sudden. I didn't notice that before. And now there's a couple cronies with this crime boss. That's all. He's the crime boss, I guess. He's like, you're going to let that dame get away with all that dough, boss? Not if I can help it. Let's get going. I've given up on differentiating all these voices. They're just a bunch of mafioso crime, organized crime guys that are going after this Thorgerson because she won all this money. But she probably should have won because they were cheating her out of it in the first place. So on the very next panel, It shows the car with the three bad guys in it driving along, and one of them's like, "Taking a shortcut, Chief." Yes, I know where the girl's headed for, and I know just the spot to lie in wait for her. Later on, they've just been waiting for her. Here comes her car. Get ready for action. Okay, she's coming. She's driving along. These three guys they're ready to do something bad. Ooh, but in the very next panel, there's Superman jumping down from a tree. Looks like he's about to leap on them. Since they're ready for action, here's where they get it. In the next panel, as Parello, because that was his name, I knew that already because they said that, sure. Parello starts the motor of his car with the intention of intercepting Nancy. Oh, they weren't even driving yet. A costume figure streaks down behind it and seizes the rear bumper. Why do they keep saying a costume figure? We know who it is. And Superman's holding the bumper and he says, "Going someplace?" I love it. The next... Okay. The next panel, Superman picks up the car and says, "All out," just dumps them over, just picks it up from the back, dumps them out, all out. Three guys fall out of this car onto the ground. Boom, boom, boom. They're out. The very next panel, it's Nancy. She's looking and she sees, and she's saying, Parello and his men fleeing from Superman. They're running. Superman's right there. But overtaking the thugs, Superman snatches them up one after another. Help! So he has all three of them now. He's like, "Join your pals." He grabs all three of them. Oh, and then he just hurls them into a pond. "Try washing some of that filth out of your soul," Superman says as he throws them into a pond. It is pretty funny. We only see two of them. Maybe the third one's already, like, he can't swim and he's already at the bottom of the pond, dead. But one is splashing down, one is hurling through the air. I don't know why I didn't bring them to the police. But okay. I guess technically they didn't do anything yet, except they do have the gambling racket, so he could have turned them in for that. A great vault carries Superman into the roadster beside Nancy, so he jumps in the car with her. She's like, "What's the idea?" Oh yeah, I forgot her voice last time. He says, "Whether you're aware of it or not, I've saved you from a disagreeable experience. Those gamblers were going to steal your winnings from me." And she says, "When I need your help, I'll ask for it. Now, will you please leave?" "Certainly," he said. "But I note you're driving away from your home. May I suggest that you drive the other way?" "I'll do nothing of the kind." And Superman says, "That remains to be seen." Then he jumps out of the car. In the next panel, he goes underneath it. Whee! He flies. He seems to, like, almost looks like he's flying under the car. The nerve of him telling me where to go. Thank goodness I'm rid of him. Nancy's just driving along in her convertible thinking everything's wonderful. And, nope. Because then a strange thing occurs. The auto rises a foot off the ground. Superman says, "Upsy-daisy." And then reverses. And around you go. So he picks it up. Now, the moment he picked it up, wouldn't he have stopped? And then the car would have stopped, maybe. And then Nancy would have smashed her head into the windshield. He goes, "Around you go." And the car commences to drive in the opposite direction. So why didn't she just put on the brakes? Why? She just keeps, "Oh, I'm turned around. I guess I'll keep driving." She says, "What? I've no control." The reason, because beneath the car, Superman is actually manipulating the steering apparatus. There's more than one way to steal a cat. "Yeah, hello, Nancy, step on the brakes. The car has brakes, right?" Superman will probably fly right out of the back of the car. He'll keep going. He'll bump his head. He'll be fine, but, I mean, put on the brakes. Instead, she just keeps driving. This a little far-fetched. I mean, I'm not saying that a caped man with amazing powers from another planet isn't far-fetched. But we're living in a world where this is a reality. He's just like, think about it. If someone holds your hands behind your back, grabs the steering wheel, is like, "Aha, now we're going." You're like, "Okay, well, I'll just put my foot on the brake here, and now we're not going." But okay. She didn't realize that. So when they reach the Thorgerson mansion, Superman emerges into view. "You," she says, Correct. I'm sorry, she said you. Correct. And now you will be so kind as to enter your home. So he brought her home. Absolutely not. I don't stir another inch. Oh, very well. You're asking for it, which is not something you want to say to anybody, let alone to a woman when you're this giant Superman. You're asking for it. And he just picks her up. The very next panel, she is fighting him off. Put me down. I'll be glad to, once you're within the house. This is against her will. This is completely like, Superman, what are you doing? And then he brings her into Wilford Brimley. He's like, well, Dad, tell this brute to let me go. Never mind, I was going to anyway. So Superman puts her down. She says, have him arrested. Do you realize what he's done to me? He forced me here against my will. And just when I was going calling for Freddy Taylor.
Taylor? That worthless nincompoop? Superman, you've done a fine job bringing Nancy home.
I see it all now. You ordered this muscle-bound wretch to keep guard over me.
Correct, Nancy. But it's for your own good.
She runs up this wonderful giant staircase. There's also a statue of a naked woman in the background. Okay? But this wonderfully, opulent, I think that's the word. I think that's a word. Staircase. She goes up the stairs. She runs to her, basically. Ready? This is great. I won't be treated like a child. And the very next line, I'm going to my room. That sounds like a child, if you ask me. And if you want me ever to speak to you again, you better get rid of him.
Nancy!
He runs upstairs. She says, I won't be treated like a child. And I'm going to my room and I'm never going to talk to you again. That, to me, I'm just going to throw this out there, Nancy.
Kind of sounds like a child.
So in the next panel, whatever this guy's name is. Is this Morgan? Morgan Thurgenson? I forget.
Says, I want to congratulate you and your masterful way you handled Nancy. He says, perhaps, Superman says, perhaps it's a little too early for congratulations.
So now we cut to Nancy, who's on the phone with this fella that she mentioned already. What was his name? See if we can remember. Freddy Taylor. That's who it was. So in the very next panel, she's calling Freddy.
You've asked me to marry you.
Oh, sorry. I apologize.
You asked me to marry you dozens of times, Freddy. And I know, too, you are mainly interested in my money, but regardless, bring a ladder to my window and I'll elope with you.
Bring a ladder to my window and I'll elope with you. And Freddy's like,
Nancy, my dear, you've made me terribly happy.
Again, why am I doing this rich person's Thurston Howell voice? Not everybody who's rich, and this guy's not rich because he needs the money. So I'll do a different voice. He'd be like, Nancy, my dear, you've made me terribly happy. This guy, I don't know. He just looks like a real generic face. Blonde-haired fella, well-dressed, smoking a cigarette. He's got the cigarette dangling from the edges of his fingers like a very rich person. And he looks like he shows up in a sort of a school bus. Armed with a tall ladder, Freddy sets out for the Thorgenson mansion. He says, what luck! Once I'm married to Nancy, I can retire. Freddy, old boy, you're a success. So he wants to marry Nancy just so he can become rich. But he also was able to get this very long car with a ladder, seemingly instantaneously. Instantaneous? Instantly. That's the word. With Freddy Taylor, he reaches his destination. He puts the ladder to use. She's in the window. She's like, Freddy, you darling, I knew you wouldn't let me. I apologize.
Freddy, you darling, I knew you wouldn't let me down.
I'll be right up.
Again, I guess they did keep her in the house because Superman was. Yeah, she'd have to do this. So he puts the ladder. He grabs the ladder and starts going up it. And suddenly, the ladder rises into the air higher with each moment. It's like, what? And Freddy looks down, and there's Superman. The reason is Superman.
Stop it. Put it back on the ground. I'll put you where you'll stay out of mischief.
So he grabs the ladder with Freddy on it and starts and just leaves. He He travels a great distance with the dude on the ladder. Superman deposits the terrified playboy in a nearby town. He takes him out of town, runs off with him on the ladder, and leaves him here. He's like, but it'll take me hours to get back to Metropolis.
And that'll give you plenty of time to reflect on the advisability of keeping away from Nancy.
This Superman is taking this job amazingly serious. Like, people could be dying, being robbed, fires. But right now, Superman is trying to make sure a rich girl doesn't get married to a guy who is after the family money. A rich woman who, a young woman who likes getting into trouble. And so Superman jumps in through the window and says, your ruse failed.
I should think you insufferable. But I'm beginning to change my mind.
I've got to switch tactics, she thinks to herself. As a matter of fact, she says to Superman, now she puts her hands on his chest.
I think I like you very much.
But she thinks to herself,
I despise him. But once he falls for me, like all of Dad's other stupid detectives, he'll be as easy to handle as a child.
Superman says, this is rather unexpected.
There's something similar about us, though it's not evident on the surface. I think you and I make a very interesting couple, don't you?
Superman says, there's something in what you say.
But
if you think this sudden friendliness of yours is going to have any influence upon my keeping you in line, you're very badly mistaken.
I hate you. And it looks like she swings and slaps him. At that very moment, what the hell? At that very moment, the swollen Cathal River surges against the straining Dixon Dam and bursts its confines. So wait a second. Huh? Now, do we just leave the story? She's like, I want you, Superman. He's like, that's cool, but it's not going to work. She says, I hate you. And now we're like, a dam burst. Very unrelated. Just all of a sudden, a dam burst. And water is pouring through. Oh, but it down into the valley sweeps the rushing torrent. So this water is sweeping houses away. It's sweeping all kinds of things away. And it's coming straight for them. And Nancy's like, what's that?
What's that?
And Superman says, a flood.
Torn loose, the Thorgerson mansion is swept along the flood directly toward huge, jagged rocks. So the whole mansion is now sweeping away in the water, heading towards these huge, jagged rocks. But an instant before the imminent collision, Superman leaps out into space and keeps the mansion from being crushed. He just jumps outside, holds the building, the house, up against his shoulder, and then the rocks with his arm, his other arm. Like, wouldn't the house crumble around him? He'd be fine. But still, the house, I mean, he must be really, like, a shock absorbing, because he's keeping the house. He's between a rock and a house. A house and a hard place? A rock and a house? There's a pun there, and I can't put it together. So then in the next panel, off he swims at terrific speed with the great home held overhead by one hand. So he's got to make time. I don't know what time he has to make, but he's swimming with one hand, carrying this friggin' mansion with his other hand. It takes him but moments to emerge from the flood and place the mansion safely on high, dry ground.
You saved lives, said Nancy, but there are many others who still must be aided.
So does the house just stay there? What happens to the property? I don't know what's going to happen, but we still have a couple pages to go. In the very next panel, back in the torrent dives the Man of Steel. Swiftly, he swims through the roaring mass faster than a rocketing speedboat. He's in the water. He's swimming. He's like, it's a wild plan, but if it works, I don't know what the wild plan is, but he must have thought of it, and he says, beat the flood. Now to get busy. Oh, okay. He swims so fast that he gets to the front of the flood. He's in front of it. You can actually see green grass behind him and the water coming at him behind the green grass. Racing at great speed, the Man of Steel digs a huge, mile-long ditch with his bare hands in a matter of moments. "This calls for speed," he says. The ditch succeeds in diverting the flood into a barren valley, thus preventing the spread of destruction. "Not a bad job, but my work isn't finished." Superman then returns to the Thurgenson mansion to find Nancy and the others aiding flood refugees.
He says, "Odd to see you thinking of someone besides yourself."
No time for idle chatter. These people need us.
And Superman thinks to himself, "Perhaps the gal is all right after all, but I'm afraid she'll overdo it."
Nancy works endlessly.
"Hadn't you better rest?"
"Not until every refugee is safe, or I drop."
So she's helping people left and right. It's actually very nice. Working at super speed, Superman rapidly cleans up the havoc left by the flood. It would take them many days to clean up this mess.
Oh, so he's saying to himself, it would take them many days to clean up this mess, but I did it quickly.
There, clean as a whistle. Now to see how Nancy's making out. Oh my goodness, what's the trouble? So now her dad is standing there. Nancy has passed out. She's passed out from exhaustion, he said. She may be seriously ill. I better rush her to a hospital. Hurry! So they get to a hospital, and after depositing the two at the hospital, Superman springs off, then returns to his identity of Clark Kent.
How is your daughter, Thurgenson?
Very ill, but the doctors assure me she will recover because she was brought here in time.
Oh, good. So Superman saved her and saved the flood, and I guess she got to keep all her winnings, which she shouldn't have lost in the first place because it was gambling. There are only a couple panels left. Later on, back at the, looks like at the Daily Planet, how you got the details of the Thorgenson story is something I'll never understand, Lois says to him, and Clark says,
I have a way with billionaires.
Weeks later, my editor would like a statement regarding the huge sum you've just donated to charity, Mr. Thorgenson.
I was glad to give it. Thanks to Superman, my daughter now devotes herself to important social work, aiding unfortunates.
I've learned... excuse me, I got a new voice now.
I've learned that there are more important things in life than nightclubs and selfish living.
The end. That last panel, I think, is the moral of this entire story.
There are more important things in life than nightclubs and selfish living.
And that really is the moral of this tale, which I think I already said. The end. Action Comics number 40. So what did we learn here? Really, I don't know what new powers Superman had. He has the power to, he has power steering, maybe. That's the big one. Didn't make any sense that Nancy would have just not hit the brakes, put the car in park, run. She's like, it's moving in its own direction. I guess I'll just keep my foot on the gas. I mean, Superman still could have just got up and walked with it, but I think they liked the idea of him working the steering and didn't care about the logic behind it. I do like the thing where he outpaced the flood and dug the ditch. That was cool. That was very cool to see. Before that, it was a very small story dealing with one. Like you can put an ad in the paper and Superman will just come and answer that ad. And there you go. I need you to watch my daughter. Okay, nothing else going on. Oh, there's a flood. Wait, I'll be back. How's your daughter? Oh, she's good now. And that's really the short story. Think about it. Like, just put an ad in the paper. Superman will show up. There you go. And I love
how mean Lois is to Clark. And when she says...
She's like, she called him stupid. You stupid. Oh, it brings a smile to my face every time. What else do we get in this? What else do we get? Oh, some of the best parts was Superman threatening to kill a man. Like the pulling the guy whoop out of the window, bringing him up, asking him if he bounces. That's like, can you fly, Bobby, from RoboCop days? I mean, can you bounce? Think about that. Think if a guy, like, you're watching The Boys, right? And you see Homelander bring a guy up into space and just look at him in the face and it's like, do you bounce? And letting the guy go. Superman's like, let's see if you bounce. And he lets the dude go, then goes and catches him. He's like, hey, let's do it again. I mean, the guy could have had a heart attack. Probably soil himself. I said it before, I say it again. That was questionable at best. Probably, you know, I love Superman, but he's not that big boy blue scout, that big blue boy scout that we know of him later on. I mean, he does some questionable things, questionable tactics, all in the name of, I guess, getting the job done. But, you know, I'd like to think down the road we see someone with some more morals and who makes just smarter, more... better choices. I don't know. Just always the right thing. Never putting people in danger, even if it's, you know, to get an answer out of a story. Only he's the guy who will, you know, fight when provoked, not throw the first punch. That's my thinking. That's my idea of the Superman that I know. And I am so glad to be back talking about Superman and Action Comics. If you're in the future, this means nothing to you because you've found the podcast and, oh, look, there's episode 39, there's episode 40. But if you've been a loyal listener, first of all, thank you very much. And again, just I apologize for this this break. You may see it again next March. And that's because over at my quote-unquote official podcast, Geek Mentality, I did a whole March-long podcast series on Back to the Future Part 2. It was year 2 of something I call Marty McFly. And it'll be back again for one more year next March. But that doesn't excuse the 16, 17 days in April that I didn't get a show out to you guys. So I'm very, very happy, very pleased to be back doing this again. And I'd like to... have a nice little streak of shows on a weekly basis, because that's what this podcast, that's how this podcast rolls. I don't know. I do a lot of different podcasts and at some points they all kind of mash together and, one or two get left waiting while one or two get, I don't know if they get take precedence or what, but, it's just, I'm only one man, and I love this hobby. This is probably my favorite hobby of all the hobbies that I like to hobby. And one of my hobbies is ranting and raving and talking too much, and I'm doing that right now. So, I'm going to call it. We nailed it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I am done here. So listen, just a little homework. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Geek Mentality. You can find the show on Instagram at Reaction Comics. You can find everything we do on the website fansnotexperts.com. And of course, if you're on Facebook, find Fans Not Experts, throw us a follow. We'd be very happy. And I say we, there are a few of us, but it's mostly me. So that's it, my friends. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing, and until next time, remember, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So long, super friends. Bye-bye. See you soon. Fans Not Experts.